This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan. And across the country, back on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Hopefully you're able to have as much of a good weekend as you could under these circumstances. Yeah, it's different. And yes, we're going to have a bunch of these, but you make what you make of it. And I know that we had a good weekend over here. Good morning, Boomer. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing all right, Gio. And, you know, it's interesting. I was just listening to Al and Jerry, and I just realized something about their morning show.
What's that?
Is that it's the only show on WFAN that kind of, like, just ends. Like, they don't say goodbye. They don't say coming up next, Boomer and Gio. It's just like it's over. Like, Al's usually in the middle of talking, and they go right to commercial.
On. That's right. We got to be right on time for us, man. Can't be dilly-dallying. Jerry always says right at the beginning of their last segment that we're coming up next because he knows that Al or him is going to get cut off at the end. But, yes, it's very, very abrupt. Leaves you wanting more. That's what I think. When that ends,
so.
even though we're going on the air, I feel like, oh, man, I want more from those guys. Give me more.
Well, the nice thing is that this morning we're also on CBS Sports Network, and I'm watching that on my monitor, my TV here in my office, and they have our caricatures up there.
Now, oh, they do.
Yeah, like they have my big head, and I don't necessarily know that it looks like you. Your caricature, I think your caricature that, you know, Tom Izzo came up with, little fat Geo, that little thing that shows up in all of his little animated shorts.
Yeah.
That's more you. This one
well,
is
well,
not.
Hold on a second. You're telling me that a little roly-poly guy with no neck is the one that looks more like me than whatever they
does.
Have?
I think
well,
it does.
I have a neck? What are you talking about?
Don't you have a TV there?
I do, but I'm not going to put it on because I've got other people in the house that'll think that the TV has to be on certain movies other than CBS Sports Network if the television is on, so I have to be careful with that.
You have one very important person at home that thinks that a TV needs to be on something
right,
else.
Right, exactly.
You
I mean,
on, right.
Yeah. The two-year-olds don't understand TV monitors and need to look at it. They think that just the B-movie needs to be up there. I will put it on maybe a little bit later when I get an opportunity. I think I've seen that before, the one that they use, but I don't think I look anything like the Tom Izzo one, because the Tom Izzo one, basically, there is it's a head, it's a giant, like, tick body, and then there's little legs. I don't think I'm at that point. You know, maybe back a couple years ago I was at that point, but not right now. I'm not at that point.
Well, anyway, I mean, it's just CBS Sports Network has us up and running, and that's something that we appreciate given all that's been going on at CBS over the last couple weeks, and they've had a lot to deal with, much like we have had a lot to deal with at Entercom. It's one of the reasons why you, me, Al Dukes, and Jerry are all remote broadcasting from home now. Unfortunately, Eddie's not a part of the show today. Fliegelman's back in the studio working the board. He's got to deal with four different microphones. He's got to deal with all the different commercial stuff that he's got to deal with. So he is doing yeoman's work. So I just want to give him a big thank you for showing up this morning. But I will say it's just another weird weekend, right? I mean, you turn on CBS, you're watching all these great great NCAA basketball games from yesteryear and things of that nature. And
I have a tough time watching old games where I know what happened. I don't know about you. I have a tough time doing that. I can't.
No, I do. I do. I really do. I didn't really get into much of it, but I know that following on Twitter on some of these games, a lot of the guys that played in those games were going after each
That's
other
fun.
And having a little fun, which was like that. That was just as enjoyable as watching a replayed game. You know, and that's the thing that we miss most about sports, right? It's in real time. It's now. It's something we could discuss the next morning. It's something you could discuss right after the game is over, or if a live game is being played and people are tweeting about it in the middle of it. I mean, that's what makes sports such a great distraction, and you can just see how much of a distraction it truly is when there is none.
Yeah, and the two reasons I have a tough time with the old games. One, it's because I know the outcome, and the great part about sports is you don't know the outcome. And the other part of it is it reminds me that this time of year, you know, we would have been watching fresh, new college basketball in the tournament, and that's something that if I don't watch college basketball and I don't think about it, it doesn't creep into my mind because, you know, if I start to think about all the things that got canceled that I love watching or get pushed back, at least like baseball is going to be pushed back. Hopefully we have a season. The Kentucky Derby gets pushed back. Hopefully we'll be able to see that in September. Same thing with the Masters. You know, it becomes a little bit overwhelming to think about all those things and, you know, when we're going to see them again. So I've actually, during this time, as hard as it is, I've avoided sports because when I watch sports, the older stuff, or pay attention to any of that outside the NFL free agency, I start to miss it more. It's one of those things that if you give me a taste of it somehow in some way, I start to miss it more a little bit. It's such an odd time. I can't compare it to anything. I know some people have made, you know, parallels to Hurricane Sandy and 9/11. These were very, very tough times and interesting times that we got through. But, you know, this is far different, at least with my experience and those two things.
Well, let's face it, those two things, you know, obviously hit us here at home, just like Katrina hit New Orleans, just like all the other hurricanes that hit the Eastern Seaboard through Miami and through. Remember, Miami had to, you know, move games, and the University of Miami had to move games. The NFL had to readjust in certain situations. But those were kind of regional things. You know, this thing is encompassing the entire globe. And there's updates and numbers and press conferences every single day. And, you know, I think Andrew Cuomo's doing a great job with his press conferences. But I almost feel like he knows what the president's going to say 4 hours later. So he's, you know, telling you that I need this, I need that, I need this. And then the president comes out 4 hours later and says, okay, this is what we're doing. And what we're doing is what Andrew Cuomo's asking for. So there's always these politics and everything else going on around here. But you know, I don't know about you, Netflix, Prime Video,
sure.
Peloton,
yep.
Cooking. I mean, there's a lot of other things that you could be
doing.
Hell,
I went
right
for now. A 2 mile run the other day. I know that's not a long way, 2 miles, but I did it. I went outside and I did it, it hurt because the bike is just so much better. But I just felt like switching it up. It was a nice day. It was Saturday.
Oh, what are you doing that? Okay, well, good. There
well,
you go.
Yeah, so. I didn't do anything. So I worked out 5 days, which is a hell of a lot better than I've been doing. Didn't do 7 like you. You are an animal. Saturday I decided, like, I got to switch it up. I was really sort of not doing anything. We went out for a drive Saturday, and then we were kind of just hanging out. And then you sent me the text message that he'd gotten back on the Peloton. I was like, oh, man. I was like, this guy. I got to keep up with this guy.
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is? Now I'm into it. Now,
yeah,
now
I know.
Can't miss it. Now I feel like I got back into it, and I feel like if I can't play hockey and I can't do something like that, I need to do something. And going for a walk is fine. Riding my bike is fine. But the Peloton's there. You know, today's not a bike ride day. Today's not a walk day because of
sure.
the weather outside
right.
and everything. It's miserable. So today is going to be maybe a double Peloton day.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know. I mean, I just feel like I have all this energy and everything else ever since I'm able to sleep in an extra 45 minutes now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And with no sports on at night,
yeah.
I'm falling asleep like at 9:30.
I know.
It's amazing. I'm 9:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like a whole new life.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's one thing I've thought about. But I'm still waking up, though, right around the time that I used to wake up. And then my body's sort of like, what are we doing? I know you have to go to work. Why are we still in bed? My body's sort of like getting me going at that time. So basically from like 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, even though I'm hanging out in bed, I'm still like, up, I'm awake, so it really
right.
kind of has defeated the purpose. You know, maybe the longer that we do this, I'll get into more of a routine, but I mean, everything is new, man. Everything's new for everybody, right? I mean, I think that some of the things that I've noticed so far is, you know, the more times, because you're confronted with these two paths, right, basically, with almost everything you do. You can go down the, I'm going to make the best out of this path, or you can go down the, oh, my God, everything is crumbling and the sky is falling path. And I'm not saying that when you go down the, I'm going to make the best of it path, that you're not being serious about it, and you're not understanding what's going on and making the right decisions and being safe. You know, and following the suggestions and the orders of those who are in charge and stuff like that. I mean, you still are. You're doing all that, but it's not getting to the point where you're taking all that information and you're just one big ball of constant anxiety. So every day I'm met with 3, 4, 5 decisions of what path am I going to take, you know, and usually it's so far. Now, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you that I'm some sort of magic man. So far, it's been that, well, I'm going to make the best of this path, and we'll see how long that lasts.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, and, yeah, and go ahead.
I really don't know the answer to this, and I usually know the answer to this,
mm-hmm.
But I've been trying to find it, and I there's really no clear answer whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right, so we have 4 people in the Senate that are selling stocks when they find out that, you know,
yes.
We're going to be shutting things down, and I'm very troubled by that, and I'm sure
the husband of one of them, too, who
is the chairman of the New York
yes.
Stock Exchange, which is really a disgrace.
Right.
But here's what I want to ask you about the New York Stock Exchange. You know, I don't know, Russia could shoot a nuclear bomb, missile, and it could land in Kansas City and take out, I don't know, 500 square miles of, you know, buildings and people and leave a ginormous hole in the ground, and yet the New York Stock Exchange would still remain open. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I know it's tied to a lot of different other financial markets around the world, but this is a worldwide pandemic. It's not just an American pandemic.
Yeah, everybody's
And
affected.
I would just wonder why don't they just shut all of it down so people stop seeing, you know, their 401ks just disappear before their eyes. I don't understand why, you know, and all of a sudden, like, the stock exchange, for some reason, like, touts the emotion of America. Yeah, well, you think America's worried right now? I would say yes. You think America feels like, you know, the world is coming to an end? Well, yeah, I guess in some cases, yes, especially if you live in New York City and you happen to be right in the epicenter of everything that's happening. So why don't they just shut down all the financial exchanges and say, look, until everybody's back up and running, we're shutting you guys down as well, because you guys are miserable sons of bitches. You're short in stocks. You're, you know, and this is the thing. This is, and I know, greed is good. Somebody said that somewhere in some movie. But I think, I don't know why. I just don't know why they don't shut it down. I really don't. I know today it's going to be shut down, I guess, for some cleaning, and because a couple guys actually showed up with coronavirus. So, you know, maybe that's what it takes, is, you know, like an infiltration of coronavirus patients in there to shut it down.
Yeah.
And if that's what it takes, that's what the hell it should be done. I mean, I don't understand why that's the only thing that seems to be, like, open that really shouldn't be open.
Yeah, and right now it's doing more harm than good. You're right. And not just with the 401ks in our pockets, but also with, you know, the anxiety. You're right. I mean, there's one guy I was talking to the other day. He's older than me. He had a nice 401k. He was thinking about, you know, retirement just a couple of weeks ago, and saying, all right, it's growing at this rate. If it continues to grow at this rate, I'll be able to retire at this point and be comfortable with it. And now all of that is gone. Yeah, I mean, not all of it is gone, but ideas are gone. And now his entire life, he's thinking, is everything that he wanted now is no longer there. And that's been driving his anger and anxiety about this.
Yeah, unless you know, of course, invested in Netflix or Prime Video or Zoom Meeting or something like that, those stocks are going through the roof. And, you know, Zoom is a big thing where you can get, you know, 50 people in a room and basically have a meeting, which is a great thing. But, you know, my thing is just that why everything else is shut down. But for some reason, those lunatics are all going there. And those are the lunatics that basically, and I know a bunch of them, you know, they're like, oh, my God, you know, and they go to work worried. Oh, my God, everybody's selling off. I'm like, Meanwhile, you have a governor, you have a president, you have 49 other governors, you have a mayor who's basically in over his head. But the fact they're trying to keep people positive, trying to understand that we're all in this together. And meanwhile, you have this thing every time you look at it, that's all these news shows talk about is how the stock market is tanking and it's losing, you know, this percentage and that percentage. And I'm like, what? Why are they open when everybody else is just sitting here doing nothing? You can't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for it.
Yeah, you don't have an answer for that.
I don't. I mean,
and I remember, I'm telling you, Linda Nirenberg, my eighth grade social studies teacher, loved her so much. Always said, "There's never a stupid question, Boomer. Never."
Yeah, I mean, is that true though?
Is the, no,
because I think yeah, there's definitely stupid questions. Your question wasn't a stupid question, but there's definitely stupid questions. I think. I mean, I think I encourage young kids to ask as many questions as possible while they're in school, of course. But I do think when you get to adulthood, there are stupid questions.
Well,
I do believe it. I've seen plenty asked during this crisis. If you at some of these press conferences, there's plenty of stupid questions that are asked.
Yeah, well, you know, today is going to, I believe, may be an all-electronic trading day on the New York Stock Exchange.
Okay,
how about
good.
That? Who knows where
how about
the hell
that?
That's... Yeah, but who knows where that's going to take us?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll brace myself like I continue to do so when it comes to the financial news that is out there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said... You get these crosses, these forks in the road every day.
You know what? I did find a really good website. I know everybody's using Johns Hopkins as a website for the coronavirus and everything.
Yeah, with their research and everything.
Right,
doing,
exactly.
Yes.
So I found a really good website. It's called World-O-Meters. World-O-Meters. So it's world.
Is this like the tankathon of the coronavirus?
I feel like it is. And it basically, let me give you a little update here, okay?
Okay.
Because this is what's really good about this website. So in the United States, 35,070 active cases. Unfortunately, 458 people have passed, and there have been 178 people that have recovered. Now, when you go to the active cases list, there's 34,434 active cases. Out of those active cases, 98% are reported as mild, 33,639. So 98% of the active cases are reported in mild condition. 795, or 2%, of the 34,434 are serious or critical. And that's only probably going to get worse over the next 2 weeks. There are 636 closed cases out of the initial 35,070. 178 of those 636, 28%, recovered and were discharged from the local hospitals here in the state of New York, and 458, I mean, in the United States, excuse me, and there, like I said, there were 458 deaths, which are 72% of the 636 closed cases. So the predominant number here, for me anyway, would be 98% are in mild condition out of the 34,434 cases.
Yeah, a number that I watch every time Governor Cuomo's putting out the numbers in his press conference is the percentage of hospitalizations. And that's something that we've seen go down with more testing and more cases. At one point, it was at the height, and this is just for New York, at the height was around 20%. It's gotten down to 13% now, and I would expect it to continue to drop.
Right.
With the more positive tests that are out there. And New York's testing a ton of people. They've done a really, really a nice job since the initial sort of lag with the testing of getting those tests out to a ton of people in the state.
Right. And two things about that. The total cases in New York, 16,900. New cases, 1,110. Unfortunately, new deaths are 36. Active cases are 16,750. I talked to two people that went and got tested on Long Island yesterday. I guess one went to Jones Beach, one was over by Jericho, and both said that the testing was quick, it was organized, and was done very, very well. No complaints at all about the testing and the way it was happening in Long Island. I know there was some troubles over in New Jersey yesterday, but they'll ramp it back up again today, and they'll try to get as many tests as they possibly can. And you know, one of the other things that I haven't really heard a lot of talking about, I guess a few doctors have been talking different places about the people that actually do recover and whether or not their antibodies will help in moving forward and trying to find a vaccine. So that's another part of this whole thing that still has to be, I guess, worked out. And like, I don't know about you. I have not been tested. I don't show any signs of anything. I know that we've been around people that have tested positive. Those people came forward for us, and I don't. As a matter of fact, I feel like I have more energy than anything else. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm on Peloton every day.
Yeah, well, it's the sleep, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's the first time for me since 2010 that I haven't been waking up at that hour to go and commute somewhere. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, I can definitely feel it for sure. I mean, I know, as I mentioned, you did 7 days. I did 5 days, but 5 days of exercise for me is generally a lot with my sedentary lifestyle. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be, I tell you, I long for the day that I can make that commute again. Trust me. There's no doubt that I want to be able to get back in my car at 3:45 in the morning and be able to go, because that means that things are back to normal. But that's going to be a big wake-up call, too, when that happens. But I'm telling you right now, you know, things like that, I'm going to make sure when we're through this, and we will be through it, that I'm not complaining as much. That's one thing. Save this, Fliegelman, cut it. And then if I start complaining about my commute again, you can remind me of these times. Of course, it's convenient, but at the same time, it means that we're in this weird place. And I have to say, you know, I mentioned Mike Fliegelman. You mentioned him, the pats on the back that we need to give him for handling all of us in different locations, me, you, Jerry, and Al. So I tried to log on to this thing that would allow me to put the callers up from my laptop, and I go through this whole process before the show. I'm typing in like different numbers and dot this and 011 blah, like all this thing. I finally get there, right? And yeah. Then it says, you do not have permission to access this connection. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. Because it's amazing to me that, you know, we had like a ransomware all over our system for I don't know how long. So people were able to get into our systems and take our files hostage. But for me to put, you know, Dan and Carteret up on my computer, I don't have permission. So I guess that's a good thing.
I don't know. I like to hear from the callers. I like to hear what's going on out there.
We will
you?
Hear from the callers, but it's just going to be more difficult because, you know, Mike's got a million things to do back there.
So Fleeks has got to handle that too?
He's got to handle that too. I mean, unless someone fixes this and gives
me
permission.
Can I ask you a question? Where is the tiny tot of the kilowatt, and what's he doing?
Oh, man. Listen, I understand people are scared and negative and all that stuff. I mean, he is right at the top of that list. Like, I don't know if you got a call from him. I got a call from him, was it Saturday?
Yeah.
And he's the most negative I've heard out of anybody.
But he's always negative. You know, he's Dr. No. You know that.
I know, but, like, this is, like, over the top. So, I figured, I mean, I wanted to talk to him more because it's nice to talk to anybody, but I just couldn't. I was like trying to get him off the phone because I couldn't hear any more of the stuff that he was saying. I was like, all right, good. I hope everything's well. You know, I hope you're hanging in there. I got to go.
Oh, boy. But, all right. Yeah. Listen, it's 6:21. We're on the Fan. We're also on CBS Sports Network, even though it's just our caricatures, but you can hear our voices. As we are here Monday through Friday, and hopefully, we may be doing Saturday and Sunday this week as well. And I know I'm up for that, and I know Gio's up for that, so we look forward to seeing what's going to happen over the weekend. And we'll get back to more of your calls, more discussion. We'll get Al and Eddie in here. A lot of stuff going on. All right.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.